John chapter 6. And for us to be able to follow this narrative, I'm going to read verse 22 to 59. John chapter 6, verse 22, and the Bible reads, "I am the bread of life." On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. 23. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not wait for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but rise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will rise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will rise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, Whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." 59, Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. That's how we read God's word. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the privilege to read your word and to learn from you. Please humble us and enable us by the power of the Spirit to hear and to heed. These things we pray in the most precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to draw attention to verse 33, which is, of course, repeated in many verses. In verse 33, we find these words. "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." We all get hungry, don't we? And when we get hungry for a very long time, and if we don't eat food, obviously, what would happen? We would die. Now, that being said, who eats food while doubting its effect? I am very hungry, I'm even shaking, but let me try to eat this pap. I don't know, maybe it's going to drive away my hunger. Is that how we eat food? We all believe if I eat this pap, if I eat this urban bread, my hunger is going away. We believe the food we eat, and that's why we eat the food. When we eat, we do so believing that food cures physical hunger and gives life. No doubts about that. The question for us this morning is, who is Jesus really? We can say a lot of things from different angles, but John is helping us to answer this question. If you said, "Brother John, tell me who is Jesus really," he's going to tell you, "Let me tell you what Jesus said about himself." And what does he say about himself? Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He wants us to know and believe him as source of both physical and spiritual life. Who is Jesus? He is the source of life. Jesus contrasts himself with physical bread. Now, that's very interesting for me. Just like we approach physical bread and believe that it gives life, Jesus contrasts himself with the physical bread. Listen to verse 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like manna. He says, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that the fathers ate, manna in the wilderness, and they died with that bread. The contrast is, I have come and I am the best bread. They died. But then he says, when you feed off me, you will never die. You will never die. Unlike bread, if we partake of Jesus in faith, he promises us neither to hunger nor thirst. Now, Jesus revealed this truth that he is the bread of life during his lecture in the synagogue at Capernaum. That's what we read in verse 22 and 59. Jesus was lecturing, he was teaching to his disciples, to those who were following him, and he revealed this truth to them to say, when you look at me, you should see source of life. This was after he had fed the 5,000 Jews from only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's a miracle. And he fed them in preparation for this lecture. That actually stands as an illustration or as background on which he's going to develop his teaching to those who are following him. He fed the 5,000 from only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then he tells them, just like you ate that bread and you had your fill, actually I am the bread of life. And subsequent to that, people continued to follow Jesus for various reasons. Because he healed the sick, according to verse 2. People are following, they're coming to Jesus, not because they believe him, not because they want him, but because he healed the sick. Who doesn't want free medication? Free healing? All of us like free things. So if this guy can heal us, well, he is the guy for us. That's according to verse 2 of chapter 6. And he's confronting that wrong motive for following Jesus. Because he healed the sick. But even more than that, because he gave them free food. Who doesn't like free food? Who doesn't like free money? That miracle money which people are promising in our accounts. Almost everybody likes that. But Jesus says, that's not the reason why you should be following me. Not because of blessings. Follow me because of me. And not blessings. Even today, we are following Jesus for various reasons, aren't we? But he confronted the Jews, and he is confronting you and I not to follow him for physical blessings. Free healing, free food, free money, miracles, and all those things. But to come to him for him. Come to Jesus to love him. To trust him, to treasure him, and to find your satisfaction in him. For he is the bread of life. And so I want us to look at this theme. Come to Jesus in faith, for he is the bread of life. Don't come to Jesus for blessings, but come to him for him. And the very first thing we learn to unpack that theme is that Jesus is the bread of life. He is not like bread. He is their bread. Jesus did not come to give bread to the world, but he came to be bread. Dear friends, we are not dead, but alive because we are eating food. And that we understand very well. But the food we eat is not life. Come to think about it. Jesus reveals that he didn't come to the world to give bread, but to be bread. If you think you have life because of the urban bread, because of the pub that you eat, I'll ask you the question, where does that food come from? And so Jesus is saying, well, I have not come to distribute bread. It's wonderful to feed the 5,000 people from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How amazing is that? But that's not the main reason he came to give bread. He came to be bread. And so repeatedly, he reveals, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Look into verse 33. He says, I am the bread of life. In verse 35, he repeats the same truth. I am the bread of life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, I am the bread of life. It's emphasized over and over. Just like physical bread and water prevented our fathers in the desert from physical death, Jesus says, it's not Moses who gave you manna. It came from God. It is Jesus who ultimately prevents people from dying. For he gives us our daily bread from heaven. But remember that we're not only physical. And to that we read, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Or you may have eaten the physical bread, but what about the soul? Have you fed the soul? Not only do we get hungry physically, we also get hungry spiritually. And the spirit must be fed as well. We are not only physical, but the soul must feed as well. It needs food. And the food on which the soul feeds, it is not that physical bread. The soul feeds on the Word of God. It is only Jesus who came down from heaven who can satisfy our souls. Only he is able to feed us both physically and spiritually. Yes, he gives bread, but he mainly came to be bread. I don't want you to miss that point, because lest you be seeking for mere blessings and you miss Jesus. Do you trust Jesus as the bread of life? Yes, we have learned that Jesus is the bread of life. He didn't come to distribute bread, he came to be bread. But do you trust him? And so this leads us to our second point, come to Jesus in faith. How should you come to him? In the beginning I said, no one of us eats purple, eats bread, and doubts its effects. I know I'm hungry and I'm shaking, but let me try to eat my food and see maybe this hunger is going to go away. That's not how we eat food. We trust. If I eat this food, hunger is going to be driven out. So when you come to Jesus, when you think of Jesus, think life. He is the bread of life. And when you come to Jesus, do so in faith. Trust him. Dear friends, Jesus discerns people's true motive for following him. If you are following me, I may not know what exactly you want from me. But you don't play those games with Jesus. He knows each one of us, our motive for following him. In verse 25, you know, these people come to Jesus. Rabbi, when did you reach here? Remember, they were with him when he fed the 5,000 people. And when they wanted to crown him as king, the Bible says Jesus disappeared from them. They continued to follow him. Now they have found him. And they are asking this question, Rabbi, when did you get here? Listen to Jesus' answer. I tell you, now this is Jesus who is able to discern the heart of man, our intentions. He says, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miracles, signs, and believed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. You are looking for more free food. And so when you look at me, what you see is free food. When you look at me, what you see is free miracles. You know, this free medication. We come to him, he's going to heal us. We come to him, he's going to give us free food. We come to him, he's going to bless us with money, with whatever that we want. That's not how you should look at me, Jesus says. You have a wrong motive for following me. In other words, Jesus is saying, stop following me for free food. Stop following me for free medication. Stop following me for physical blessings. But when you come to me, come for me. When you come to me, come in faith. Believe me that I am the source of life. That's how Jesus wants us to follow him. To come to him as source of life and to come to him as one who, yes, cares for us both physically and spiritually. But our primary reason for following Jesus is not that he should bless us. You see, there is this whole preaching, you know, children of God, you are no longer the tail, you are the head. You should thrive in life. Everything must go on well with you. And this is your year. This and this is going to happen. Wonderful, you're going to drive this nice car and all those things. And all that that was promised to us. Because you are the child of God, things must go well with you. You must thrive in life. You must prosper. He didn't come to satisfy our wants. He didn't come to be convenient. Most of us follow Jesus because he is convenient. He says, stop following me for blessings. Dear friends, Jesus didn't come to be useful, but to be the precious bread. He didn't come to satisfy your earthly wants, but to change your appetites, to change your cravings, to change your desires, so that you would desire him above anything else. How many times have you asked Jesus to fulfill your natural desires? Be reminded that he didn't come to meet our natural cravings, but to profoundly change them. The things you and I desire in the flesh, that must change. And begin to desire spiritual things. Begin to desire Jesus himself. And when that desire happens, when that change happens, it is what actually is called new life. Now you have a new life and you have different cravings, new desires. So that he is the central desire. And so that when we pray, we do so according to his will. Come therefore to Jesus in faith. And not because for blessings. Come for him. And so these people are asking Jesus, but what must we do to be doing the works of God? That's the question they ask in verse 28. Because now they've been exposed by Jesus to say, you are laboring for physical things. And so they say, but what must we do to be doing the works of God? You see, they think in terms of law keeping. Jesus says, to be doing the works of God, you must believe in me. When you come to me, believe in me. And don't come to me for blessings. You see, Jesus discerns the heart of man and exposed their interests. He taught them to labor for the bread that endures to eternal life, which is faith. This is not what man can do, but it is the work of God. According to verse 27. In fact, Jesus says, I will give to you. He enables us to trust him. The bread of life, my dear brothers, which comes from heaven, it is Jesus Christ himself, and he wants us to partake of him, and to trust him, to treasure him, to love him, to embrace him as source of life. And when we do so, and to those who believe in Jesus, we are being promised that you shall neither thirst nor hunger. And that's my last point. First point, yes, Jesus is the bread of life. Come to him in faith. And here's the promise. If you do so, you shall neither hunger nor thirst. And so we do not only have an invitation to come to Jesus in faith, we are also promised to neither hunger nor to thirst, according to verse 35. Jesus did not merely come to be bread, but to be their bread itself. And when we eat of that bread, we are told, you will not hunger anymore and you will not thirst anymore. Unlike that physical bread, we had in verse 49, 50, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. And so Jesus contrasts himself with that physical bread and then he says, but I am the bread of life, and if you eat of me, you would not die again. What does this mean? And when Jesus says he's the bread of life, does he want us to eat his body physically, like literally eat him? What does, you know, that's what they thought. And hence they're arguing and they're saying, but look, isn't this the man we know? How come he's telling us to eat of his body and to drink his blood? And what's wrong with him? Well, he's speaking far deeper than the physical eating of his body. What he means by that is believe in me, trust me, treasure me. When you look at me, you should look at me as the source of life and not just as this guy who distributes the free things. And you're just interested in those blessings. He did not come to fulfill our wants. He didn't come to be followed for free food, for free healing, but that we come to him in faith, to partake of him, to love him, trust him, treasure him, and find him satisfying. Now, this promise in verse 35, I want to believe it is not for any other person. It is only for those that trust in Jesus. If you don't trust in Jesus and you're following him for blessings, you'll be disappointed. And you will not be satisfied. You will not be satisfied. Because you have your wants, you have different cravings, you have different wants, natural things of this world. But then the promise in verse 35, it is for the believers. Let me read verse 35 once again. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Now there is the promise. You will not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But this promise, it is for the believers, those who believe in Jesus Christ, and not those who are looking after the blessings from Jesus. And this promise has everything to do with eternal life. And it has nothing to do with just the focus on the physical things. Be a Christian and you are going to thrive in life. Yesterday I was listening to a sermon, and this pastor clearly indicated, you know, Christians must own big businesses, must be very rich people. Christians, the things should go very well with them in life. Well, that's not true. And actually, when you read the early verses of chapter 6, you'd find there that when Jesus multiplied bread and fish, there were leftovers. And Jesus commanded, ensure that you collect everything and nothing goes to the waste. How many baskets did they collect? 12 baskets for the 12 disciples. There was just enough for each one of the disciples. Now, one would think, if Jesus multiplied so much food for the followers, how much more is he going to give to the 12 disciples? Plenty of food. Now, there was only one basket for each. So, from that, I learned something. Well, if you're following Jesus, there will only be enough, just enough for you. And not accumulative earthly wealth. We are not promised this prosperity in this world. Not to say we are going to be lacking. And the question that I have very quickly is Jesus concerned for our physical blessings? Of course he is. When he looks at the people, they come to him and he knows they are following for wrong reasons, but he's saying, sit them down. Let me give them food to eat. He's concerned of our physical blessings just as much as he is concerned of our spiritual blessings. But if your focus is so much on the physical blessings, and then this promise in verse 35 is not for you, this satisfaction, never to hunger or thirst, it's only for the believers, those who come to Jesus in faith, those who believe him, love him, treasure him. It's only for them. And to those who are just looking for physical blessings, well, they will keep wanting. They will never be satisfied. Yes, they will be, you know, following Jesus, looking for these physical blessings, but it's not going to satisfy them. And such are people, they will still be hungry, and they will still be thirsty, and they will eventually die. They will die wanting. For this promise in verse 35 is not theirs. They don't believe in Jesus. It's not Jesus they need, just the blessings. Yet there is good news. There is eternal life to those who come to Jesus and believe in him. Such are people that partake of Jesus, the bread of life. Such are people that love him, trust him, treasure him. And to them it is promised they will never hunger nor thirst. There is eternal life guaranteed to them. This is the reason why Jesus came, to be bread. He sacrificed his body and his blood so that if we believe in him, we shouldn't perish but have eternal life. He died and rose again, so that those who believe in him, even if they physically die, they will be resurrected to live with him forever. Does Jesus care for physical needs? Of course he does. But that's not our interest, just physical needs. Actually, we are taught to seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. Which things? Which things? No, she's right. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He's concerned with our physical needs, and he gives them to us. He does. But that is not our aim for following Jesus. No. Follow him for him and not for material blessings. The material blessings, really, they're just, I would say, accessories. They'll be added to us. He gives them to us. But what we need the most, it's him, Jesus. Hence, Paul would say these words, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In this world, as long as I have Christ, I live for him. Even if I was to die, wonderful. It's gain, face to face with him. As long as I have Jesus, I am fine." These earthly blessings, it mustn't be something to take me into depression if I don't have them. No. What I need is Jesus. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, we come to Jesus in faith through prayer. Let's desire to pray according to his righteous will, not according to our wants. We come to Jesus, yes, but through prayer. And we do so according to his will. Let us come to Jesus in faith, desire him, and he promises to satisfy us. You see, our desires, our cravings must change and must be aligned with Christ. And he changes our desires such that when we pray according to his will. Desire him, trust him, treasure him, love him. That's the reason why I should be following Jesus. And he promises to satisfy us. He is the bread of life, and only he is able to give us life, both physical and spiritual life. May we not only focus on the physical things, but our primary aim must be Jesus. And anything he blesses us with, actually, I would say it's a bonus. It's Jesus I need and not the blessings. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we want to thank you even today for reminding us that we should come to Jesus, not for material blessings, but for him. And we thank you for sending him to this world to be bread, that we should partake of him, that we should believe him, love him, trust him, and treasure him, for he is source of life. Please, Lord, forgive us. However we have thought of Jesus as one who is convenient and one who throws blessings at us, we want to pray that we would come to him with the right motive. And we thank you that you sent him to this world to die and to rise again, to give life to us who are dead in our trespasses. Please, Father, help us to trust him. Just like we approach physical food with trust that is going to cure our hunger, so we should with Christ. Come to him in faith. Come to him knowing and believing that he is a source of life. It's him who provides us with physical food, and it's him who also feeds our souls. And we thank you for his resurrection, And we are guaranteed that even if we would die in this life, we'll be resurrected with him and to live with him forever. Please, Lord, forgive us of our sins and help us to live in this life in faith and help us to trust him, whether it be in the valley or on the mountain. For Jesus remains the same. And help us to trust him indeed as the bread of life. And these things we have prayed to his glory alone. Amen.